May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, in our Bible overview, we focused on the significance of the temple in the story of God's people. From the book of Ezekiel, we learned about its design and building, its richness, and the temple's iconic importance to God and his people, the Jews. However, due to the disobedience of the children of Israel, at one stage in their history, they were exiled to Babylon and their temple destroyed. In the days of Jesus, King Herod took it upon himself to rebuild the temple. It was magnificent. Dazzled by the temple, the disciples remarked on its splendor. Jesus responded by saying, "Destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days." What did he mean? Now, one of the features of the temple was a rich curtain, said to be as thick as a man's hand. That may be true, but what we do know from that historian Josephus is that it apparently took 82 maidens, 6 months to make it, and 300 priests to lift it into place. Suffice it to say, it was not the kind of curtain to be easily torn, and certainly not top to bottom. We read in Matthew 27 as Jesus drew close to death. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. A dark day, an earth-shattering time. I was just 17 when my parents went abroad and my home disappeared. And I went to boarding school in a different country for a year. While I was there, I read The Lord of the Flies. Now, that is not designed to cheer you up. The cruelty and brutality of a group of boys turned savage echoed my experience of that school that year. It was a cruel place. The world was dark and loveless, I concluded. The light in my world went out. Darkness fell. As far as I was concerned, God had died. And the shock was awful. Such a day and more it must have been for Mary Magdalene, standing some way from the cross as she watched Jesus die in agony. It was the day the sun went out, the day that God died. I chose another Mary, Mary the mother of Jesus, to feature in our second reading today. I hope all these Marys are not too confusing. I chose Mary, the mother's well-known hymn of praise, the Magnificat, because in it she exalts at having been so honored by Jesus. She has been raised up from her lowly status to be the mother of God. Mary Magdalene is another Mary who is raised up. She's shrouded in some mystery, and we will be exploring that in Film Focus next year. But we first meet Mary in Luke 8, verses 2 to 3. She's a woman Jesus has met on his healing missions in Galilee. She must have been quite a mess. Perhaps she'd given the fishing town of Magdala on Lake Galilee quite a run for their money. Her family have possibly despaired. Maybe you know someone like that. An alcoholic or someone with long-standing mental health issues. It can be hard to imagine their healing and the liberation that will bring for all who share their lives. One day, after much angst, I presume, she happened to meet Jesus. And it seems that he touched her and began to heal her and gradually made her whole. The story speaks of 7 demons being cast out of Mary. I imagine this healing as happening over a period of time, as Jesus related to Mary. Her healing bonded Mary to Jesus like superglue. She was not going to leave him, not then, not ever. And so we find Mary has followed Jesus all the way to the cross. Eventually, shocked and disbelieving of the terrible outcome to Jesus' life, defeated, she turns for home. It is the worst day of her life. It's Friday evening as they head for home, and soon it will be dark again, and she must be inside. All activity must cease in a death-like evening. Night and day and then another night. She relives the trauma of that day and ponders all that she has seen and heard. She reruns the words of Jesus from the cross and wonders at the darkness of that afternoon and the unleashed evil and Jesus' desolation. 3 long hours of acute suffering. And that is after the mocking and ugliness, the humiliation of Jesus in his nakedness. And yet, always, the vestiges of dignity in his refusal to retaliate. And those words with the 2 thieves hanging there so ignominiously between the lowest of the low, the scum of the earth, on a rubbish dump of all places. What is left when God has died? The darkness floods her own soul. Our reading ends with the death of Jesus. It ends with despair. But, and there is a but. And in that occasion, after I'd read Lord of the Flies, there was a but. The light had gone out, but it was to be relit. It was not the end for me, and it's not the end for Mary. Finally, after an agonizing 36 hours have passed, the darkness begins to ease, and at last she can get up and do something. It's very, very early, and no one will be around. It's safe for her and the other Mary to return to the tomb. As they set off, the darkness thins, and a new day dawns. Sunlight begins to cast its rays through the leaves. It's undoubtedly a perplexed Mary we meet on that day of sunshine after the storm of Jesus' death. Morning has broken. The long and desolate night is past. Weeping may have endured for a night, but joy will come in the morning. We find ourselves in a garden. The garden tomb in Jerusalem is a beautiful place, peaceful, well tended with flowers and shrubs. Birds sing. A team of carefully chosen guardians devotedly care for it. Cast your mind back a long way to the very beginning of the Bible, when all was beautiful and as it should be. It was in a garden where God chose to meet with Adam and Eve in the evening to walk with them in delightful company. The Garden of Eden, it was called. Eden is a word for paradise, which means to walk with God in the garden. It is in a garden where the new Adam, Jesus, the Son of God, and a new Eve now meet. Now please note all who feel that women are slighted and downtrodden, that Jesus chooses to appear first after his resurrection to a woman, to Mary Magdalene. It was after an angel had appeared to that other Mary, the Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she was chosen to be the bearer of God's Son. She was a young, simple, unmarried girl, an unlikely carrier of this new life. Mary responds to God's grace in the Magnificat, which we read. Mary rejoices that God has chosen her. She rejoices that God makes a habit of choosing the unlikely, the lowly, the passed over, the ignored, the weak, to fulfill his purposes, to be carriers of the Christ child. How amazing that the damaged Mary Magdalene, of such low self and public esteem at one time, has been chosen as the first apostle to the apostles. Her status, along with the status of all women, should now be secured. Is this her final healing? She is privileged to carry the good news of the defeat of death and sin in the risen Jesus to the men who have not, on the whole, covered themselves with glory in this whole saga. From the Garden of Gethsemane on the Thursday night to the rising of Jesus from the dead on that first Sunday morning, the new Sabbath. That day to be celebrated by Jesus' followers as the first day of a new era, a new creation, the first day now of the week. All has been made new. We continue to celebrate God's ways, that his ways are higher than ours, that he turns the world upside down and neatly reverses our values, that he raises up the lowly and casts down the mighty from their thrones. We have a God who is full of grace and truth. Alleluia. He is risen. The night is over. A new day has dawned. The curtain is torn. So why is our church named after this Mary Magdalene? Annually remembered on the 22nd of July. Was it that she was the first apostle, the bearer of the good news of Jesus Christ? Did it suggest that we might be like her, bearers of the good news of Jesus to our parish and further? Does it suggest that we are people who still encounter the risen Jesus? Might it indicate that this is a place of reversals, in which the lowly and broken are raised up and can expect to find healing and new life? Might our church be a place where all can experience the power and grace of God, where there may be no barriers in the way of seekers coming to God? May it be a thin place where heaven and earth meet. Let us pray that all that might be so. Amen. Indeed, Lord.